And for those of you that weren't here on Wednesday night, I think Ryan posted it online, so you could listen to it online, or you could get him to download it onto a MP3 or CD or something for you. But I think they announced last week we're going to be doing a series of teachings in the month of June on the offerings of the Lord, which are a pattern for fellowship. That'll actually be the title, Offerings, a Pattern for Fellowship. But where we were on Wednesday night, we were looking at the terms available to you under the New Covenant, the New Covenant terms. And we were looking briefly everybody got themselves back together, and
we got the spider.
All right. That time of year when spider eggs are hatching. We were looking briefly at how most of Christendom, most Christians, we use that term loosely a lot of times, but have available to them terms of a new covenant, have new covenant terms available to them that our Lord Jesus Christ made available through the body of his flesh when he tore down the middle wall partition and made in himself a new and a living way. And by the sacrifice of himself, he put away sin. How many believe that he put away sin today? Sin has to be defined, as we saw, and we'll be looking a little bit more this next month, but sin has to be defined in more than one way, or you miss the full understanding of it. And most of us are more concerned often with the fruit of sin than the root of sin. Hello. The fruit is obvious. And we see it in our own lives. We see behavior, which strikes us as, ooh, you know, why did I respond that way? Or why do I always respond that way? When I get in this situation, why do I always respond that way? Have you ever asked yourself that? Maybe some of you have never had that kind of thing. I know I sure did in my life. A series of, you know, your culture, your environment, different kinds of things. Children can grow up in a very threatened, most of us didn't, but children can grow up in a very threatened environment. So without even thinking about it, they take on a psyche. Is that right? They take on a psychological profile. That's why children coming out of abused homes got to be touched in a certain way. Something has got to be replaced in them. And there's nothing that the power of God can't touch. But that victimization that happened to them, I'm not saying they have the right to feel as a victim, but the victimization creates bitterness, creates scales, creates veneers that we put over ourselves. Religion creates veneers. Our culture, our upbringing, a lot of things create veneers. And the Holy Ghost gets into our life to pull back the covers, doesn't he? It takes a lifetime sometimes to actually discover who you are meant to be in Christ and not allow the conditioning of your environment be what shows up all of the time. But if you're like me, the Holy Spirit gets a hold of you in the process of going to perfection, the process of being transformed. He gets a hold of you and he starts to, you know, you come out with something and he starts to go, okay, and then you stop to think and you think, why did I respond that way? Why did that somehow come out so quick that way? Why was there an edge to that? Where'd that come from? At other times in your life, you may not have even given it a second's thought, is that right? But all of a sudden you go, oh my goodness. For me, I was so afraid to death of authority. There was a lot of abuse, things that happened. You know, my theory as a young teenager was the only good elder was a dead elder. And I said, I sure don't ever want to be one. I hadn't seen a lot of things that I admired or that I wanted to be like. And so it created a defense mechanism in me. And as I grew older, I realized, you're not going to get me in a corner. You're not going to do that to me again. That's not going to happen to me. And because of my makeup, I'm not a wallflower, in case you didn't notice. I'm not going to just sit in the corner and take it. The one who sits in the corner and takes it is not any better, by the way, than the one who lashes out. Pride has, it's got two sides to the same coin. And sometimes the one who just sits there in their arrogance and their conceit and never says anything is in worse shape than the one that goes, because when you blow it all out, usually you heard it. Hopefully you did. And the one you spit on heard it. And if the Holy Ghost is faithful, which he is, if you're employing him in your life, before the sun goes down, something will be tapping on your heart, won't it? Now you got a decision. I got to go get that right. Why did I do that? And the blood of Jesus can cleanse you from that. And you go right on walking under the power of the blood and under the authority of the Spirit of God. But for me personally, you know, I had this thing, and poor brother, who remembers Brother Dave Smiley? What a dear old man. Brother Dave Smiley. Yeah, he's 90-something now, right? Saw him at a Bowens Mill convention a few years ago. That man wouldn't hurt a flea. Gentle guy, but he was the work coordinator. And an elder, because only elders could be work coordinators. I came to, when I first came to Blueberry in 1992, I was, you know, God was structuring some things in my life and had a call and was growing me up into some things. But I did not realize the defense mechanisms I had. And poor Brother Dave, I used to have to go to that dear old man and apologize to him so many times. All he would have to ask me to do was stack a pile of firewood, and I took that wrong. I mean, I took that wrong. And so there was so many things in my life that if it came from somebody in authority, I was going to, you know, it's like the old Western duels. You remember those? Where back to back, you know, we've agreed to walk 40 paces. What kind of an honor system is that? You know, we're going to walk 40 paces. Well, I decide 20 is good enough and, you know, get my shot in first. Well, God only lets you get away with that kind of stuff so long. And if you're going to walk with him, and if you're employing the Holy Ghost in your life, which is the real purpose, remember Jesus went. He said, if I don't go away, I can't send the Comforter. And he's going to lead you, and he's going to guide you into all truth. And the Holy Ghost is going to reprove of sin. He's going to work as judgment in your life, because it's according to the spirit of holiness. We've got to get it right. And you can't get it right without the Holy Ghost. How many of you agree? This is very important, because a lot of Christendom has been reconciled by the blood, but they have not employed the Holy Ghost in their life to live without sin. So although the blood of Jesus is for the remission of sins that are past, if this is what Jesse and I were talking about this morning, if we don't employ the Holy Ghost in our life, we have no strength to walk and stay out of the things that bring guilt and shame. Amen? So we got to have the Holy Ghost. And it's by the Holy Ghost that he actually gives us access into a divine nature so that we can be partaker of something and manifest something before it's ours as an inheritance. That's good news. That's good news. That I can reveal the nature of Christ before it's mine by resurrection. Hello. Good news, huh? Or else your only option would be to constantly show the beast. But we can come in under the authority of God with a clear conscience, being purged by the blood of Jesus, and actually manifest the character of Christ. That doesn't happen instantly, does it? Because he's changing us from glory unto glory, and we discover it's here a little, and it's there a little. And the here comes Monday, and the there comes Tuesday, and the line upon line, and the line upon line, until we come to the measure and the stature of the fullness of Christ. Amen? Two kinds of growing is happening here. You're growing in Him. You're growing up in Him. And He's growing up in you. So when He says, when we say that He's given us all things that pertain to life and godliness, why don't we see it yet? I mean, why don't I see everything that pertains to life and godliness revealed in my life yet? Well, it has to be revealed. It's got to be open, doesn't it? The seals have got to be open. Paul was praying and groaning, travailing, that Christ would be fully formed. Has to be fully formed in you. He has to abide in you, and we have to abide in Him. Amen? It's got to be this reciprocal action in order for the life of God, the character of the Father, to be revealed in us. And so, you could never deal with sin the way Jesus intended sin to be dealt with under the terms of the old covenant. There was forgiveness of sins. So if all you want is forgiveness for your sins, that was available under the first covenant. But He didn't just come to forgive sin. He came to do what? Take sin away. Now when He's talking about taking sin away, He's not talking about the fruit of sin. Do you know Paul said, I had not known sin, except the law said what? Thou shalt not covet. So do you need the Holy Spirit to tell you what sin is? No. Not according to that scripture. The law was able to give you the knowledge of sin. But what could it not do? Couldn't take it away, and it couldn't make anybody that constantly came making those sacrifices clean as pertaining to the conscience, because your conscience still registers you've got a problem, even if you've just come in and be cleansed by the blood of Jesus. Right? Every one of us still have a problem here today. We still have a sin problem here today. Are we all on the same page? We have a sin problem here today, even though you should be living without any knowledge of transgression against God. If you're not, when is a good time to deal with that? Right now. If you confess your faults, right? You come one to another and confess your sins to the Lord. He is faithful and just to forgive your sin. That's because of a lamb that was slain before the foundation of the world. And you've got a continual burnt offering for you today. You've got the blood of Jesus that is there that, when we walk in the light, which, by the way, is the only way you would ever know if you were otherwise minded. Because it's not in you to know the way to go. It's not in you to know that. So the only way I will know, you will know, if you are otherwise minded is if you walk in the light. And what is the light? What's the purpose of the light? It is that which doth make manifest. And what does it reveal? The hidden thing of dishonesty. Now, who's it hidden from? Not God. But who needs to know? I do. Why do you need to know what it is in you that's still hidden? So you can turn from it, right? Get rid of it. You can't deal with something unless you have understanding concerning it. And so, this is why the Gospels say that a man stumbles in the dark, because why? There's no light in him. That's obviously different than in the natural, right? You stumble in the dark at night around here if there's no light outside of you. So you need a flashlight. You need light outside of you. That's what I'm doing right now, actually. Unless you can hear by the Spirit, the light is only outside of you. It will not keep you from stumbling. Nothing I say, even if it's the Even when it's the truth, even if it's perfect, it will not keep you from stumbling. Because the external instruction, no matter how good it is, okay, well, was there a problem with the law, according to Paul? Paul said the law was what? The law was spiritual. Where was the problem? He said, I was carnal, sold under sin. So the problem wasn't even that, it's just that the law was not of faith. Because there wasn't somebody walking in faith in order to fulfill the righteousness of the law. And so in order to get it right, I'm going to have to get it right by the Holy Ghost. I'm not going to be able to come underneath some stipulation, match up to it, and deal with sin. Not the way God is defining sin. And so if as believers we only want old covenant provisions, then we will use Jesus, the blood of Jesus, to be constantly forgiving the fruit of sin, the behavior, and not deal with the root. So there's a difference between the root and the fruit, and there's a difference between the nature of sin and the sins of the nature. And so when we get it, all the fruit dealt with, we conform to something. We conform to a image, but under the law, you could conform to an image. But there wouldn't be deliverance from what your real problem is. And I know if I fall into anger, or if I fall into lust, or if I fall into any of the works of the flesh that are listed there, greed, lasciviousness, that are listed there in Galatians, and I come before the Lord Jesus, I say, Lord, forgive me. Here's how I transgressed my brother. I feel convicted about that. Will you cleanse me with your blood? And he's faithful and just to do that. The sin is washed away. You keep walking. But you know as well as I do that probably, maybe not the next day, probably there is going to be another opportunity for you to reveal the inclination of the human nature. Is that right? The problem hasn't been dealt with. So when John the Baptist looked up and saw Jesus coming down the banks of the Jordan, he said, behold the Lamb of God who what? Takes away. He actually, the sin, the nature of sin, is what this is all about. And so in the beginning, God puts a treasure in an earthen vessel. You get born again, and the life is in you. How much did that affect the nature? How much did the born again experience change your nature? Didn't change it at all, did it? And that was an experience. Right? Is there an experience that actually will change the nature? And the name is? Well, you're right about that because it's a process. But what actually changes it? Resurrection. That's the finish line. That's where we're going. Could you die today? If you died today, and you died in faith, like Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, you died properly, and you're on the other side, would your nature be changed? Not till resurrection. You would still have the sin nature, even though you died in faith. But there's a big difference between being in rebellion and disobedience against God, in transgression against God, in unrepented of sin. There's a big difference between that and having a sin nature where I have no consciousness of sin. That makes sense? So as you walk in the light, as he is in the light, you have something. Fellowship. That's what this is all about. It's about fellowship with the Father and with the Son. You have fellowship, and then what comes into play? You got to walk in the light for the purpose of fellowship. Now the blood comes into play. And the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin. Sin. Okay? So I would never be aware of my secret fault, which is not something I do. It's something I am. So we were looking at Job on Wednesday night. God looks at Job and says to Satan, have you considered my servant Job? How he's perfect and upright. Well, that sounds pretty good. Let's just stop after those first few verses. We got a guy who's home free. Right? But all you have to do is read for a little while and you discover God had a problem with Job. And he was not imputing sin to him. Hello? This is good news, guys. He was not imputing sin to Job. He was imputing that Job was on the right path, and somewhere in this man's development, walking in the light, because he was perfect, and where's the only place you can be perfect? In Christ. And what does Christ give you when you're in Him? Christ shall give thee light. So whenever you're walking in the Spirit, which means to be in Christ, you are walking in the light, and you are complete in Him. Someone say, thank you, Jesus. You are complete in Him. Does that mean the whole problem's taken care of? No, but you'll never discover what the real problem is unless you're in the light, maintaining fellowship. And of course, as we maintain that fellowship by walking in the light, God is able then to reveal the inclinations of the natural man that are sure not dealt with just by being born again or by being filled with the Holy Ghost or preaching an anointed word or any prophecy or vision. They got to be dealt with on a daily basis while I walk in the light. I have to be constantly being identified with both the death and the resurrection, and what we're going to look at is one more today. I got to be constantly being identified with that, or I will identify with something. So Jude says, when you do that which comes to you naturally, that means I yield to the natural response, to the natural inclination of this man. When you do that which comes to you naturally, in that you corrupt yourself. Those are kind of scary words, aren't they? Because while we're here in the days of our flesh, God gave us the Holy Ghost for the purpose of employing the Holy Spirit so that I would pick up my cross, right? Deny something. Deny myself. When you deny yourself, what are you denying about yourself? I mean, He made me. It's He that made us, not we ourselves. What am I denying? Well, I'm denying anything that would any natural inclination that God hasn't authorized, that God hasn't Himself ordered. Now, do you know what all of those are in your life? I sure don't, in mine. Sometimes God uses somebody. I like it when God just talks to me in the closet. How about you? But the body of Christ is not Jesus only. Hello. The body of Christ is made up of many members, and ye are standing here. Corinthians tells us that you are here in Christ's stead, and Christ shall give you something, light. So when my brother comes to me, I better be in the Spirit or I won't recognize the Spirit he's in. Don't take for granted he's moving in the Holy Spirit. He may not be, but he also may be. So every believer has been given the manifestation of the Spirit to profit with all. So when you're given the Holy Ghost, it's so you can discern the spirits. So when a brother comes to me, I immediately have to do something. I have to deny myself. Because nobody likes to be confronted. Is that right? Really. You don't have the way, you don't want the way you were going to be questioned. The thing you were saying. The direction. The way you think. You don't want that questioned. Are we all... Right? We're all that way. So what would cause you to question it or deny your response? Well, the cross and the Holy Ghost. And so I have immediately got to deny myself and incline my ear. Are you speaking to me, Lord? Because God needs a body with skin on. And He uses members in particular to reveal aspects and characteristics of his nature. That's what's so beautiful about the corporate body of Christ. Because as it comes together in the spirit of unity, the Holy Ghost, or the love of God, is being shed abroad, right, by the Holy Ghost, and the body makes increase of itself by every joint that's supplying its effectual part. And there's a lot of parts, and there's a lot of impartation that needs to happen. So, if each one moves that way, we strengthen the inner man. But when you come to me and you say, have you ever considered, or maybe you want to consider, or maybe you want to think about or pray about, or you said this, what did you mean? And you come to somebody that way, or you come to me that way, there's got to be something inside that says, Lord, is that your voice? Would you all agree? Is that you talking to me? Now, you might just have to shut up, Steve, just for a minute and listen and discern. That's the time you do not want to go by what you feel. Right? You got to, and so my mom said count to 10. She was wrong. I need about 100 or 200 or 3 or a day. You got to count and you got to listen and be quiet. And you don't go by what you feel. You go by, my dad used to say, you'll know in your knower. Wherever that is, but you'll, I'm remembering all of these things, Dad. They stuck. You'll know in your knower. So something inside, there's a witness, right? Because you've got the Spirit. And you're walking in the light. And you've been asking God to search you and see if there's been any wicked way in you. And you're in the process of being transformed by the renewing of your mind. So this is God's pattern. And the path of the just, right, is a bright and shining light, and it's getting... So that means there's an increase of light. It says light is sown for the righteous. So you can expect a harvest. There's an increase of light. And all of a sudden, something comes to me. And I did not know I was moving that way. I did not know I responded that way. Was it sin? Yes and no. It was not transgression against God because I didn't have the light or the understanding to rebel in disobedience. So sin was not imputed. How many are aware of the offering of first fruits? We'll hit this next month, but the offering of first fruits of Pentecost. The Pentecost offering was a meal offering. Leaven or no leaven? It had leaven in it. Do you know in Leviticus 1, when God lays out the offerings, there's no leaven in the meal offering? There's no leaven in it. Because that's the Lord Jesus Christ who had no sin in him. But when you and I come and make an offering, is sin still a problem? Yes, but if it's transgression against God, that's the trespass offering. If it's transgression against God, you got to do something. You got to confess it. You got to repent. You got to turn around. You got to confess. But we have sin that is not transgression. So in the first fruits of the Pentecost, the offering of Pentecost had leaven in it, and they would wave it before God. They would offer their offering up before God. But guess what? It could not be burnt on the altar. You know why? It was not a sweet savor offering. There was not any leaven. You could not have leaven in any offerings offered to the Lord. Leaven is a type of sin. Leaven is a type of saying but not doing. So it has the appearance of righteousness, but you're holding the truth, or what you know to be truth, in unrighteousness. You know it, but you're not walking in it. So God said, I accept your offering. And you waved it before the Lord. He said, I accept your offering. But it can't go on the altar. There's a problem here. There's still sin. Not transgression against God, but a nature that's not yet dealt with. And before it's over, I'm sorry to have to tell us this, God equates the both of them as the same. Sin must be dealt with. And most of us deal with the fruit of sin, but the root. You need the terms available to you as a new covenant believer working in your life to deal with the root of sin. So there's one thing to deal with the behavior of the nature, and it's another thing to actually deal with the nature. And we're not just in this to get in the form. I believe with all my heart, I could be wrong, but I believe it anyway, that this is why God has so shook this move of God. It is not the same as it was 15 years ago. Hello. The structure's not the same. From the apostolic ministry down, nothing is the same. Nothing works the same, and it continues to evolve. It continues to change, because God's not going to have a people comfortable leaning on anything other than His arm. Right? And before it's over, every believer has got to have the witness where? In himself. You got to have the witness in yourself, because God's going to judge you when you stand before Him according to that. It's not going to be good enough just to say, well, the elders told me this, or this is the way we've always done it in the move, and then get disgruntled if it gets done a different way. Come on, let's face it. None of us like the ordinary to be changed. What you've become accustomed to, your comfort zone, what's normal for you, you don't want changed. Is that right? Are we all the same there? It's upsetting a little bit when things go differently. It doesn't matter if that's with or without God. That's just the way we are. We don't like the apple cart disrupted. But that's what God's all about. When it comes time for an eagle to fly, there's a lot of stuff going on in the nest. Right? A few pricklies added here and there. Because it's got to be apparent in the life of every individual believer what source they're drawing from. Are they just being conformed to the image of the law? Or are you being conformed to the image of His dear Son? What is going on here? And, you know, some people, God, I think, deals with at different times, different levels. I don't think everything's happening at the same time. I think in any assembly like this, you've got, and this is not just about natural age. When we were under the law, we were under tutors and governors, and I think there's a time for that. I think there's a time when you're in your spiritual growth, obviously when you're in your natural growth, that you are under the law. And you are under a form of mediation. Hello. You do not get it direct. It's under a form of mediation. Parents are God to their children. Their children do not have a direct relationship with God. They are not able to direct their way according to the Holy Spirit when they're little. They need constraints. And so as we grow, even in the spiritual realms, God doesn't start us out with that kind of liberty. He starts us out, as we've seen in this move of God, with all kinds of parameters. But no, although we had all of that, when God starts to take it away, guess what we've all discovered? I'm still me and you're still you, and there's still work to do. Is that right? So we could do it all perfect according to a formula, but we still couldn't take care of the problem. And I think most of us have probably taken care of the fruit of sin. I think I could say that most of us aren't dealing in adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, and all of that stuff. Most of us aren't. You've been clean. You got the Holy Ghost. He comes in and He convicts you and He keeps you out of those things that mar the garments. But now God's actually after the nature. After the nature. And under the new covenant, you can have that dealt with. But not under the old. So I want to read a verse that we close with on Wednesday night in Corinthians. 1 Corinthians chapter 11. That really describes the difference between what was available to you under the law and what's available to you under grace and truth. 1 Corinthians chapter 11. Very familiar. verse 23. For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he brake it and said, take, eat, this is my body. Do you ever stop, read this and stop and wonder what was going through the disciples' minds who did not have the Holy Ghost yet? And he said, take and eat. And he had said earlier how much he was yearning and how much he had desired to have this supper with them. They had no idea what he was talking about. I mean, on the night he's about to be arrested, he's all excited about having this meal with him. And they must have looked back at this and thought, what in the world? Why would you be so excited if you knew? He was looking beyond to what he was going to make available in the body of his flesh. And when he had given thanks, he brake it, said, take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. After the same manner also he took the cup, and this is the line, when he had supped, saying, this cup is the New Testament where? In. Circle in. The New Testament or the New Covenant. The terms of the New Covenant are in the blood. The terms of the Old Covenant are by the blood. And so what was made available to you under the law by the blood could forgive sin, but it could not take it away. But under the New Covenant, which through the body of the Lord Jesus created a new and living way, which you are to enter into. We're to enter into. He said, I'm the door. We're being given access to enter into the terms of the new covenant. But as long as you draw back, you remember this has been the condition of the church. God brought them out into the wilderness and he told them very clear he wanted to make them a nation of priests. Right? So when he brought them close to the mountain and revealed his presence there, and as a consuming fire came down on the mountain, what did the church say? They said, who can hear God's voice and live? And so they drew back from the mountain, and they said to Moses, who would be the mediator of the old covenant, of the law. He said, you go hear from God, and we will do all that you say. And they didn't even do that well with that, did they? They didn't do it at all. But we'll do what you say. This is the pattern that we have to be aware of. If you don't want the terms of the new covenant enacted in your life, then by default, what you're saying is, I would rather be told what to do through a mediator. And guess what the mediator will do for you every time? He will put you in the form of godliness, but deny you the power. So if you do what I tell you, I could put you in the right form. Religion will put you in the right form. But it can't, some religion... But it could not put you in the power. It could not put you in the life. So we sing it all the time. It's not by might. It's not by strength. But by, you got to have the Spirit. Because Jesus said, the words that I speak, they are spirit and they are life. And he desired that there would be a people that would worship him in spirit and in truth, not according to the letter of the law. Since the law was not of faith, what does the letter do? Kills every time. So although you can end up in the right form, you see, there's nothing wrong with the law. The law is spiritual. But because it wasn't of faith, it couldn't bring anything to perfection. It couldn't deal with the problem. So we could go, you know, we can talk about those outside, it's easier. But when you talk about our own history, of the things that we have evolved into as a move of God and the things we did that God himself might have given us. Try and change some of those things or have it done differently, and you'll see all kinds of responses. How do I know? Because I've had them. It's taken me, I'm still not over it. I'm still in process saying, God, why in the world are you doing this with that one that way? That's not the pattern. That's not the way we do it. Come on. Y'all like me or are you guys all through this already? We've never done it that way before. That's why God speaks to you the way he did today. That's why. Because what he's doing is he's breaking traditional formulas of ways we've always performed. You know why you're in the state you're in? Now, don't blame anybody. God brought us to this. There's got to be a transition from the natural to the spiritual. Why we're in the state we're in is because we grew up under mediators who put us in the form of what they received, but they could not put you in the life till you get a hold of it for yourself. Hello. Come on, saints. This is why God takes places, shakes them, rattles them, rolls them, dumps them, destroys them. Remember the ship in the book of Acts? The whole ship gets destroyed, but there was no loss of life. He's going to destroy the thinking of the carnal man. The carnal man, the natural man, is very religious. We're very religious. We want to please God. We want to do it right. We want to do it right. We want to get it right. How many know you can't get it? You can't get it done. Knowing unto the Lord are all his works. This is a no-sweat gospel, Brother Buddy always tells us. That's why you got to wear linen garments, because God's not going to accept my good idea. He will not accept it. And so we have hosts of people. And God's dealing with us all. He's going to bring us home. But we have hosts of people caught in what was established through mediation, not what was established through the Spirit of the living God. Now that was all right for a time. But when the fullness of the time comes, right? Because Paul says, now I say that the heir, as long as he is a child, differeth nothing from a servant, though he be Lord of all. So he has the call, he's got the seed, but while he was a child, he was in the servant realm. So Proverbs says, he that delicately bringeth up his servant will at the length receive him as a son. And what makes you a son is a process called adoption. It's called the placing of a mature son. And so we've been in this process just like Paul was. Paul was under the law and fulfilled it blamelessly. But when it pleased God, come on, who separated me from my mother's womb, and called me by his grace, for what purpose? Say it out loud. To reveal his son in me. As soon as that became clear to Paul, and it obviously became clear, because God knocked him down on the Damascus Road, put him on a street called Straight, and that man writes 17 books in the New Testament of the straightest arrow that could ever be shot. But as soon as God gets a hold of him, the last part of that verse, it says, immediately, I conferred not with flesh and blood. Because God brings you out of the realm of natural understanding being fed on the breast of the mother. That's what God's got to do before this is over. And that's the transition we are currently in. Who's going to learn doctrine, Isaiah says? Who's going to learn all this? Who's going to get a hold of it? Those that are weaned from the milk and drawn from the breast. God's actually got to get a people off of the mother. Because as long as you're on an umbilical cord, that doesn't mean, this does not cancel, by the way, the interdependency that is so necessary in the body of Christ. But what it brings into play is the necessity of me having the witness where? In myself. So when an elder comes to me, or an apostle comes to me, or when a body member comes to me and says, have you considered? There's something working in here. And I can go, uh-huh. Some, even though every part of me is screaming about this, there's a little witness there. I need to go home and pray about this. You need to get before God, right? So that it can work in you. Because he's got to work in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. But he's first got to bring it to the light. So that's what he does. He brings it to the light. Or the reverse is, well, brother, if that's the way you see it, we'll just wait on God until he brings it clear. And you might be way out in left field. I still do not have to break fellowship with you. In fact, we're told to maintain the unity of the Spirit. And to do all of that in the bond of peace. Right? But you can only do that if you've got the Spirit. Because that's the only way the love of God is shed abroad. So what's made available to you in the new covenant is the Spirit. The only thing available to you under the old covenant was the blood. So it was by the blood. But there's three that bear witness in the earth, isn't there? Not just one. You got to have the water, you got to have the blood, and you got to have the Spirit. In order for there to be a threefold witness, and it's all got to be working in you. So, as we saw here, this is the New Testament, New Covenant, in my blood. It's in him. Now, what makes a difference? Well, Colossians tells us that there's an operation of God by faith that takes place in the waters of baptism. Not that that was a once for all. You do it once and you're done. Because there's a constant reckoning of the old man. You got to reckon the old man what? And what's next? And yourselves dead indeed unto sin. Okay? Reckon the old man dead. That's one thing. Jesus took care of that. The old man was crucified so that the body of sin would be destroyed. That's what Jesus did. What are you doing? Yes, sir, I agree. So I'm not going to visit him. Because if I sow to the flesh, that's the old man, what am I going to reap? Corruption. So yes, sir, the old man is dead. He's gone. He's buried. I agree. That's what water baptism is. I agree. It's a sealing of the covenant. There's a covenant involved there. So the old man is dead. You reckon the old man dead. And here's the key. And yourselves dead indeed unto sin. What's that mean? Well, if you through the Spirit, we can't do this through the law. If you through the Spirit mortify the deeds of the body, which body would that be? Not the body of Christ. It would be the body of sin, which means you have to disannul that. You have to constantly be reaffirming, confirming, reminding yourself the old man is dead. He's buried. Can't do this without the Spirit. And yourselves dead indeed unto sin. So Romans tells us that if we be planted in the likeness of his death, we shall all be also in the likeness of his resurrection. So the terms of the new covenant, according to Hebrews 9, tell us that a testament or a covenant cannot come into force, into play, into action, made available, except by the death of the testator. Okay? So we know that the Lord Jesus already performed his part of the covenant. So now there remains no more offering for sin. We had a little bit of false doctrine early in this move concerning the morning and the evening sacrifice. And it was taught that Jesus was the morning sacrifice and we were the evening sacrifice. But that was a sacrifice for sin. Okay? That was the continual burnt offering. And so there remains no more sacrifice for sin. Is there still an offering required? Yeah. But you've got to perform a reasonable service now, and you've got to offer your body as a, that's a different kind of a sacrifice, and it's not for sin. It's actually shown in the peace offering, because now I'm not coming in making a sacrifice for sin. I'm coming in and offering up a heart of thanksgiving, not to try and get something, not to try to restore something, but to come and give a thanks for something that already exists. Okay? So we're coming into a provision that has already been made in the Lord Jesus Christ. And so, and that's only available by the Spirit. So if the terms of the new of the old covenant couldn't deal with sin, then the believer has to be enlightened in his understanding to realize that if I actually want to deal with sin in the form of a nature, then it requires that the covenanting parties enter into the same, agree to the terms of the covenant. They got to agree. And so the testament can't come into force except by the death of the testator. Now your death is not a death for sin, unless you die in sin. But your death is one that we die daily in an agreement. We got to reckon. That's an accountant's term. Where's our accountants? Done. It's an accountant's term. You're reconciling something. You're coming into an agreement that the debt was paid. He paid a debt he did not owe. We owed a debt we could not pay. We needed someone to wash our sins away. So in water baptism, and every day from that point, I'm saying, yes, the old man is dead, and I'm being buried, planted in the likeness of his death. And when I come up, by faith, I'm partaking of the likeness of his resurrection. But see, there's one more thing here. Since you've got a call on your life, according to the foreknowledge of God, as elect people, the seed of David, that I believe, I mean, that's who I'm ministering to. That's my burden every time I'm talking to God's people. It doesn't mean that there are not other levels. It doesn't mean that God doesn't have other rooms in the house. It doesn't mean he's doing a whole lot of different things that I don't have any clue about. I just know what my mandate is and who I'm talking to. And you can see that God will minister in all three feasts at any given time. But he's going to save the tents of Judah first because they have a governmental call on their life that the rest of the tribes don't. So they're called, this company is called, John, to take part of First Resurrection. First Resurrection has something in it that none of the other phases of what God is doing has in it. First Resurrection does not only have death, resurrection, it also has ascension. Ascension is included in the first resurrection. Do you realize it wasn't only Jesus that is called to ascend? And the ascension gift that he gives to the new covenant participant is the Holy Ghost. And the Holy Ghost, if we employ him, gives us joint seating. That should get somebody excited. Because without the Holy Ghost, you'll never deal with sin. You only need the blood to get it forgiven, to get it washed away. But if you want the nature of sin dealt with, you need the Holy Ghost. And so, look in Acts. Peter's all wound up preaching this great word. And you say, well, I've got the Holy Ghost. I've been filled with the Holy Spirit. I speak in tongues. I hear the voice of God. Acts chapter 2. I've got the down payment of the inheritance. I've been born again. I've been water baptized. I've been filled with the Holy Ghost. I'm coming into an understanding of sonship and perfection and going all the way and resurrection. And what are you talking about? You need the Holy Ghost. Thought I had the Holy Ghost. Well, here's really how you know if you're employing him. He's going to reprove the world of sin. That's how I know I'm employing him. Because the Holy Ghost sent by the Father, sent by the Son, the Spirit of the Son, has only one desire: to present you spotless, without fault, to bring you all the way home. That's the provision of the new covenant. And you cannot be compatible with God in the form we're in. You realize that Jesus was transfigured before resurrection? You realize that the prince of this world came and found how much? Nothing in him. That to defeat the inclination of the human nature, he did not need the physical cross. He'd already, every day of his life, offered himself up through the eternal spirit, offering himself up without spot. He'd already done that. When he came down off the Mount of Transfiguration, that was such a glorious experience where Moses and Elijah, Moses a type of the law, Elijah a type of the prophets, and Jesus there as the King of Kings. It was so good. It was so incredible. A cloud came down. They heard the voice of God. "This is my beloved Son. Hear ye him." They saw him transfigured before them. It was so incredible that Peter caught up in the excitement of the moment and the excitement of what was happening in the life of Jesus said, "This is good enough. Let's build 3 tabernacles. It has all come together right here and right now." He was right. He actually saw the glory and life immortal come out of the invisible realm. Peter would write about it later. He said, "We are not talking to you about cunningly devised fables. We were with him in the mount, and we saw his majesty." If you look back at that in the Greek, you'll realize the words that are being used there is, "We saw him reclothed with the garments of the high priest that he had taken off when he came." He had to disrobe himself of the garments he had on in the invisible realm to come into the world, into the created realm, and take on himself the form of a servant and be sown in weakness. He had to take all that off. But now, you can see his prayer in John 17, "Glorify thou me with the glory that I had with you before, when I was with you before." And when he comes down off the Mount of Transfiguration, he comes off now ready to do the work of a priest. And he heads straight for the cross to show a couple things. God's utter hatred against sin. Because God was going to take the sins of the whole world and lay them and actually make Jesus' soul sin. And judge sin. Condemn it, it says in Romans 8. Sin in the flesh, which is the nature of sin, it had to be condemned in the flesh. And not only that, he didn't stop with that. He took the law, which was written in ordinances, which declared you guilty, the whole world guilty. He took that, and he took sin and the law and nailed them to his cross and defeated it all. And in the body of his flesh, he sanctified forever those that have been redeemed. He purchased eternal redemption for you. Eternal redemption includes resurrection, saints. Eternal redemption is not just saved by the blood. It's sanctified by the Spirit and glorified in resurrection. He purchased it all. That's why you see Abraham way back there in Genesis. He bought the tomb, the grave, Machpelah. He bought the trees and he bought the field. He bought the whole thing. Because this is exactly what Jesus did for you. He has made it all available. Are we thankful today? The whole thing has been made available. Not only has it been made available for out there somewhere. Come on. But now. When's it available? Do we need to read that? Hold your finger here. Look in Galatians. Ephesians. Come on. Ephesians chapter 2. Oh, Paul in his lack of periods. Verse 11. Wherefore, remember that you being in time past Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision, by that which is called the circumcision in the flesh made by hands, that at that time you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope, and without God in the world. But now, in Christ, you who sometimes were far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. He's our peace, who hath made both one and have broken down the middle wall of partition between us. And here it is. He's abolished in his flesh two things, the law and sin, and it's a sin in Romans, but even the law of commandments contained in ordinances, for to make in himself of two one new man, so making peace. Jump down to verse 18. For through him we have access by one Spirit unto the Father. This is the provision given to the believer under with the terms of a new covenant. We've got access today. Hallelujah. We are not restricted to what only the terms of the law give you in regards to sin. Because under the terms of the old covenant, the law, I can get forgiveness of sin. But under the terms of the new covenant, by the Holy Ghost, I've got access into a divine nature that is actually dealing with the nature of sin. It's actually transforming me by the renewing of my mind. So that every single day, under His authority, I can be renewed in the spirit of my mind. I can be renewed, it says, in knowledge after the image of Him. Hallelujah! That word renew is renovate. That means there's a project going on each and every day. You're under the hands of the Holy Ghost. Why? You are His workmanship. He's the author. He's the finisher. And you're His workmanship. Shout glory, Sandra. We're going home. He's taken us home. He's going to finish it. He's the author. He's the finisher. We are His workmanship. You weren't just created to go do your own thing. You were created in Christ Jesus unto good works. And knowing unto the Lord are all His works. You're His workmanship. He's working on you. Hallelujah! He's not done yet. Where's it all going on? In the light? And while it's going on, you're complete in Him. And if you be otherwise minded, while you're in the light will reveal the hidden thing of dishonesty. It'll reprove the works of darkness. For what purpose? So the blood of Jesus that was made available 2,000 years ago can touch you in your conscience, purge your conscience from those dead works, and you can go son and serve the living God in a justified, sanctified, and even glorified position. Hallelujah. That's what He's made available. When? When? But now. Right now. And if you're not accessing this right now, saints, come on, get it in your bones. If you're not accessing it right now, you're living with the provisions of an old covenant, not with the provisions Jesus made available in the body of His flesh. That through one offering, He was going to put away sin. And He wasn't talking about transgression. He was talking about the human nature. That's why He gave you the Spirit, so you could taste and see that the Lord is good and access a divine nature. Come on, this new covenant is built on better promises. There's better promises available to the believer today. That I don't just have to keep continually coming to the altar. Oh, Lord, I did it again. I do it every single time I get in this position. I respond that way every time. I do it every time. Come on! That's old covenant mentality. It's by a new and living way. And with the lust, you see why you need the Holy Ghost? Come on, Jesse. We all need the Holy Ghost. You got a little touch today, but we need it every day. We got to be released in the Holy Ghost. Because the Holy Ghost that gives us the power. We didn't need the Holy Ghost for forgiveness of sins. We need the Holy Ghost to overcome sin. Which is not something you do, it's something you are. It's something you still are outside of Christ. Sorry, I'm getting all excited here. Because there's access into something. You know why I'm getting excited? Because I'm living in it and I'm tasting it. Yes, I've still slipped out. But every day I keep speaking of those things that be not as though they were. And I am being transformed by the renewing of my It's affecting the way I think. Yes. But you got to stay immersed in the terms available to you under the new covenant, because it's not by the blood, it's in the blood. And it requires the death of the testator. So if you want it to be forced, if you want it to be of force in your life, you got to come into agreement with the terms as he did. So you got to be planted in the likeness of his death. How often do you got to die that death? What are you dying to? All you're dying to is anything he hasn't given you. Do you want anything else other than what he has given you? Did he say? Didn't he already tell you he'd withhold no good thing? Come on, saints. It's the way of the wicked that's upside down. We think this world's got something good to offer us. Come on. Seek first the kingdom of and his. And then what? It's all yours anyway. We just want to get our priorities right here. We just want to get the eye single so that the whole body is full of light. Right? Because man stumbles in the dark because he's got no light in him. To walk in the light is not to do what the preacher tells you. It's not to fulfill the form. Because Brother Sam laid something out 40 years ago. Come on, saints. You know what God's doing? I'm sorry if I'm stepping on any toes. He's going into the things that natural man told us. Doesn't change the vessel or the vessel's obedience. He's going into the things that natural man told us and making sure that today you're hearing by the Spirit, not by the traditions of men. Because what do the traditions of men do to you? I don't care how good the man was. They make the Word of God, come on, of no effect. And where does the Word got to be working? Mightily in you. For what purpose? We are made clean by the Word of God. It's got to be working in you. You got to be able to bear witness to it. It's got to touch me. Right here, it's got to be the Word God's given me. I tell you, most people want to define what God is saying by things you do or things that we used to do. And everything gets judged according to outward appearance. Why? Because there's not enough attention given to discerning the Lord's body and getting in the Spirit and discovering, oh, God's doing this. Doesn't look anything like it used to be. Amen. You know why? The glory of this latter house is going to far exceed anything we've ever seen. What God is doing now in the joining of his people could never be done through a structural system. It could never be done, hear me now, through sameness. Just because you do things the same does not mean you're corporate. Hello. That sound about right? It doesn't mean if you got all the same template, you dress the same, look the same, believe the same, you're going to be deader than a sack full of hammers. Absolutely no life. God doesn't want stagnant ponds anymore, saints. He wants rushing mighty rivers. He wants the fire of the Holy Ghost. How will you know the difference between the fire of the Holy Ghost and wildfire? Because there's both out there. I'll tell you how you know. He gave you the Spirit. The Holy Ghost. Employ him in your life. Employ him. Because he didn't come. The reason he was sent was not just to give you a provision to wash away sin so you can come back next Sunday. You know why so many people coming to the altar? Man, they're living like under Catholic tradition. They want to go to a man. I watched this movie the other day. I was on an airplane or something. I saw this movie and the guy went into the little, what do you call those little? Confessionals. Thank you, Bill. Went in this little, you been there? He went into this little, of course it'll work. It didn't make you clean. But anything that you're instructed to do by another man will put you in a moral form. So you don't need Jesus, the blood, or the Holy Ghost to live morally. We might have to back up 100 years in society because the moral fabric of our country has been so tore down. But you don't need that to have high morals. The Christianity created, right? The Judeo-Christian ethic created a moral high road in society that for, 300-400 years, really the founding of the United States, it was founded under Christian ethics, provided a high form of moral lifestyle. You could have that on the farms and the communities. You could create high forms of morality. Unfortunately, there was immorality as well. But you could create high moral standards, and you can do all that under the law. And the church, come on, loves it. Moses, you go have a direct fellowship relationship with God. You go talk to him. We don't want to talk to him. Because if we talk to him, we know we can't live in our own life. But under the law, I'll change my behavior to please you. I just don't want to lose my life. That's where we are. Not the behavior, but the actual nature. And without the Holy Spirit, oh my gosh, it can't happen. This cannot happen. And we're going to need him, and we're going to need the reality of him in our lives more than we ever have before. Did I tell you to go back to Acts? We did Ephesians, but back in Acts chapter 2. I am just so, I guess it's because of coming off of this teaching in Montana, but I'm just so charged and excited with the reality in my spirit that our toes are probably hanging over a transitionary line. And there's going to be a people, there is going to be a people on this side of the veil that defeat sin in the flesh. And I'm not talking about the fruit of sin. I'm talking about the very seed of Abraham, which is the generation of Jesus Christ, will fulfill the same thing he did on this side of the veil. And when the prince of this world comes, he can't find any inclination in me to sow to the flesh. And that's been the call on this move of God since the apostolic trumpet first blew. And it'll never happen as long as you're leaning on some form for your strength. The forms and all the tutors and governors, they've been necessary for a time, but God has had to pull all of that down because it must be discovered on a personal basis, therefore a personal accountability, what you're serving and why you're doing it and what's in your heart. Because before the day of Christ can come, everything that is hidden must be revealed. Everything that's been hidden has got to be revealed. And it will be, because God is light, and in him is no... As long as you're walking the light, anything in you that is not of God, remember what I'm talking about, not something you're doing. Anything in you that is not of God is going to come to the light. You know what that is? The mercy of God. How many have heard of the great white throne judgment? How many know it's not 1,000 years from now? Not if you're called to be part of a first fruit company. Not if you're called to be part of first resurrection. Judgment comes first where? To the house of God. Give me a name for the house of God. Scriptural name for the house of God. Psalm 132? Zion. Zion is the name for the house of God. So where does the trumpet first blow? Does it blow as just a sweet melody? No, he says, sound an alarm. Sound an alarm in my holy mountain. And what does the trumpet say? Awake to righteousness. And what? Sin not. Why do you got to awake to righteousness? Well, we were asleep to it. You don't have to wake up to something if you were already awake. You got to awake to righteousness because you were asleep to the criteria that the Father's looking for. Because under the law, what are you seeking to establish? Your own. And he says your own righteousness is as filthy rags. But how do you actually get righteousness? It's got to be imputed to you. Hello? It's imputed to you. It's the righteousness which cometh by faith. It's got to be imputed to you. And if it's going to be imputed to you, it's imputed to you because you're walking by faith. How many know you can't walk by faith unless you got the Holy Ghost? Because faith comes by, and when you hear God's voice, who do you think's talking to you? It's the Holy Spirit moving in your life. And every time He moves, He's coming to transform you by the renewing of your mind, constantly renovating the way you think about yourself. So we need to get out of the concept of constantly coming to be washed by the blood of Jesus. That provision is still there. Please don't hear me say something I'm not saying, because people are at different levels. That is still there. But the purpose in God is not to deal just with fruit of sin, it's to deal with the root of sin. He made provision for both. That's why you have a sin offering and a trespass offering. There's a provision in Christ for both. But if we're ever going to get it right, we're actually going after the nature of sin. And so we have to be partakers through the Spirit, through Him, of the divine nature. And then in the divine nature, we manifest the characteristics of the Father. Until, Brother John Clark used to say this. He said, I believe, and I agree with him, I believe God will require us to walk an unspecified amount of time in perfection before the resurrection. I think exactly we're going to have to do it like the patterned son did. There's going to have to be the knowledge that the prince of this world comes and finds nothing in me. Now, the only way he could find nothing in me is if you've been weighed in the balances. This is what he's doing with us. Instead of being found wanting, you're actually found complete in him. And then God can say, well done. Let's read this verse, which is where I wanted to go when I got up. Acts chapter 2. Peter is really going for it here. Pick it up in verse 26. Therefore did my heart rejoice, and my tongue was glad. Moreover also, my flesh shall rest in hope. Boy, this is a verse I'd like to preach on right here. This was, you know, he's repeating, I think it's Psalm 16, but this is a messianic thing that David wrote way back in the Psalms. And Peter's repeating this here. This is what Jesus was doing. His flesh was resting in hope. There was no body found when the tomb rolled away. He was the first one where his flesh never saw corruption. It was the perfect meal offering, because every meal offering had to be offered with salt, which keeps the body from corruption. And so here his flesh does not see corrupt, or his flesh is resting in hope, because thou wilt not leave my soul in hell, neither wilt thou suffer thy Holy One to see corruption. Thou hast made known to me the ways of life. Thou shalt make me full of joy with thy countenance. This is for us today, saints. Not just for Jesus. This is for us. Men and brethren, let me freely speak unto you of the patriarch David, that he is both dead and buried, and a sepulchre is with us unto this day. Therefore, being a prophet, and knowing that God had sworn with an oath to him, that of the fruit of his loins, according to the flesh, he would raise up Christ to sit on his throne, he, seeing this before, spake of the resurrection of Christ, that his soul was not left in hell, neither his flesh did see corruption. This Jesus hath God raised up, whereof we all are being witnesses. Therefore, being by the right hand of God exalted, and having received of the Father the promise of the Holy Ghost, he hath shed forth this, which you now see and hear. Peter was talking about what they had just experienced in the upper room. It was shed forth. About 120 people all got baptized in the Holy Ghost, and it came as a result of ascension. So when you come under the terms of the new covenant, not only are your sins forgiven and washed away by the blood of Jesus, that's pretty good in itself, because he came to fulfill all the ritual offerings under the law. So by one sacrifice, he was able to take his own blood in and atone for the sins of man. That's pretty good all by itself. But there's more to it than that. He didn't just die, which reconciled all men back to God. That's where most Christians are living. Eternal security doctrine holds Jesus in a death-only mentality. He didn't just die. He, on the third day, was raised again. And when he was raised again, he didn't just stop there either. Mary meets him in the garden, obviously wanted to run and give him a hug or something once he called her name, Mary. And he said, "Don't touch me." What was the reason? "I have not yet ascended to my Father and your Father. But go and tell the disciples." The reason she wasn't to touch him was because he had not yet ascended. Remember, this is the woman out of whom he had cast seven devils. This is a type of the church, seven nations, greater and mightier than thou, a land that we've got to possess by walking through it. He says, "I don't want you to know me just this way. I have not yet ascended." Because what God was going to make available to the church, the general assembly, the church of the firstborn, he wasn't just bringing in a better way to do things, he was bringing in a new and living way. He was making a provision for you if he would go. If you wouldn't hold him in just a Jesus-only mentality, which is where most of the church is today. They don't understand that the resurrected Christ is the same one that also ascended. And he ascended so that by the Holy Ghost he could come and fill all things. And so that ascension gift that was made available to you and I is not for the forgiveness of sins, it's for the putting away of sin. That's what we have available to us. When? Right now, by the sacrifice of himself, he's sanctified forever. He's done this something in you and I right now by the Holy Ghost. How do I access the terms? You know it's impossible for you to die without the Holy Spirit. You can't offer yourself up. Not even Jesus could. He, through the eternal Spirit, had to offer himself up. So every single day, as I present my body as a living sacrifice unto the Lord, how do I do it? Same way he did. Through the eternal Spirit. No wonder it says pray without ceasing. Stay in constant communion with the Father, through the Son, by the Spirit. Lord, rule over me today. Order all of my steps today. Bring every thought into captivity today. Any thought that's not in line with the purpose you have that you want to work out in me. Employ the Holy Spirit in our lives and begin to realize that if he's working in me to will and to do, he's actually changing you. There's a change going on from glory unto glory. Brother Gary Snow likes to point out that the root or the grandparent of that word glory means to think. And so he's affecting you in your thought life, because as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. And if you and I are ever going to be changed into the image and the stature of the fullness of Christ, it's going to happen, I believe, by a process of our every thought is stayed on the Lord. The upright man is at perfect peace because his mind is stayed on the Lord. Never distracted. Can you imagine? Never distracted. Never stressed. Never worried. The peace of God ruling in your heart. The ship is tossing to and fro on the waves, and the Prince of Peace is asleep in the boat. How are you doing in life circumstances? Asleep in the boat? Yeah, Bill's always at peace there. I'm gonna pray for a few more tests, Brother Bill. No, I'm kidding you. I wouldn't pray that on anybody. He's always, life is good. I'll share some of mine with you. But he can keep us, can he? What a provision, saints. Spend time with the Holy Ghost. Spend time getting refreshed in the Holy Ghost. We have so many cares. We have so many things that fill our lives. Did you realize if it's not ordered, if it's not all ordered by God, it's all going to get burnt up? What? You can be saved. So is by fire. But what happens to all your works? Your works get burnt up. We're here. God has given us the possibility of being here in the days of our flesh, of not only having our soul saved, but of having our works endure, if they're His. Works that can be established with His name on them, that endure forever. All made available under the new covenant. Don't use Jesus as a tool of the old covenant. When He came to be a new and living way and sent us the Spirit of adoption, we're under that authority in the fullness of time. We can be gathered out of heaven and out of the earth and actually placed in Christ as a mature son, the very place we are growing in and is growing in us. Amen?